this week on the Anime Alchemist Podcast.
Hi, everyone's collecting Yu-Gi-Oh! Everyone's collecting Pokemon cards. No one really knows how to play it. You're watching it, of course. Pokemon movie comes out. And she introduced me to Sailor Moon. That was the very first anime that I watched.
Are there, like, certain things that you feel like, as a One Piece fan, you want or need to see done in the anime or in the manga before the show ends?
See, I really did not like Orochi in the Wano arc. I think that's, he's easy to hate, though, and it's unlike Doflamingo, where it's like, you love Doflamingo, but you hate Doflamingo, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah. You love to hate him.
Exactly. Orochi and just, I think how, I don't know, diabolical he was, and just like that snake aspect. Obviously, I think Orochi has to do with like snakes in Japanese and stuff in general, but just that kind of character alone, I don't really vibe with, and so definitely not. And I would say he's probably my least favorite at the moment.
That's a good, yeah.
Welcome back to the Anime Alchemist Podcast. My name is Emery.
My name's Martin.
This feels really weird hearing it like right after my name.
Yeah, it's always in that same order. We're missing another member of our Alchemist trio. Gary is feeling a little under the weather today, so he's taking a little bit of a break. We wish him, you know, a speedy recovery.
But it is a special episode for Martin is back from fat camp. Not really.
These motherfuckers, I listen to the episode and they're talking shit while I'm gone. I'm like, yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. But well, however, we may not have Gary, we do have another guest to fill in his spot today. Mm-hmm. We have Taylor here. Taylor, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Taylor, better known as Chia Boy on TikTok. And yeah,
AKA
hi, I'm so glad to be here.
The real life Kuma, yeah.
Real life Kuma, real life Brooke at this point. Yeah,
yeah. No. Have you seen?
Yes.
Oh my God.
So good.
They're so good. We're going to get into that. Appreciate everybody for listening, whether it's on Apple Podcast or Spotify. Maybe you guys are watching us over on YouTube. Make sure you guys like, subscribe, turn those notifications on. It's episode 128.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably. One of these days we'll drop the numbers, bro.
One day.
One day we'll just be like, fuck it, figure it out yourself.
Oh God, that'll be the day. We'll do it on like 200.
200. I was thinking 150.
Okay, I mean, you know, fair.
All right.
But all right, let's get into it. Spoiler warning, like always. If you guys don't know, spoiler warning can get you 10% off on some G Fuel. And let's talk about some anime.
Yeah.
I guess so. We have a guest, so like always, we have to interrogate them, and we have to get into the nitty and gritty on like what makes a weeb tick, basically. Mm-hmm. The first one that we kind of like to ask, I guess, is what initially got you into anime?
Gosh, I'll say too that it is specific to anime because I remember I had to have been about 7 or 8 just learning about the world, and I had a friend actually who lived on the street from me, and I would go over to her house, and she was big into Pokemon and Sailor Moon. And at the time, you know, I've got 4 brothers and a sister, and so at the time everyone's collecting Yu-Gi-Oh, everyone's collecting Pokemon cards. No one really knows how to play it. You're watching it, of course. Pokemon movie comes out, and she introduced me to Sailor Moon. That was the very first anime that I watched that I actually was like, wow, this is amazing, right? You know, Magic Girl, super awesome. Resonated with me a little bit more than Dragon Ball Z did, which is also that segue into anime, which I think as a kid, you're kind of just like, oh, this is just cartoons, right? You don't really know the adult tropes that fall in line with some of these TV shows.
But it hits different when you're older.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, it was definitely introduced to me by friends, a singular friend growing up, and God, at an early age too, and then just continuing that into Toonami and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm 29, if that wasn't apparent. And so just early Toonami and watching it with my friend.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, cool. I always feel like Toonami was the gateway for so many people, like
for like Western. Oh yeah,
for the Western audiences. Oh, yeah. They did a really good job of introducing it early on, I think. And like, I remember you made a really good point when you said that, like, we thought it was more so cartoons. Like, when I was watching Dragon Ball Z as a kid, I genuinely just considered it a cartoon. Yeah. I never really thought about the fact that it was anime. Like, I always thought it was a little bit different than the other cartoons, but I was like, oh, it's just different. That's it. And then I come to learn, you know, it's from a completely different country, different culture, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, this is cool. And then, you know, as you keep watching other shit, you know, you start realizing that, like, oh, this is, like, this is good. This is different.
I constantly will go back to tell my mother, be like, do you have any idea what you let me watch? She was like, no. I'm like, you should go back and just rewatch like the first three episodes of Dragon Ball and tell me that was appropriate.
Oh God, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I'm just like,
yeah, but we watched Ed, Ed and Eddie as kids too, you know, and I don't even know if that's really appropriate.
And like Courage the Cowardly Dog, that shit would like nightmare traumatize me.
Yes. That red cat that wouldn't blink, that was,
oh yeah.
I hated the one
alien
with
alien ducks.
The alien ducks. There was the one with the fucking, I don't even remember what it was, but it was like this weird looking thing outside and it would just like sway in the wind.
Oh, the slab.
Yes, the slab. You remember that
yeah,
one?
I do.
That one made me so uncomfortable as a kid. It genuinely gave me like nightmares. And there was another one. Like with the, I don't even remember. It was like the guy who gave Courage like a haircut or something. He like shaved him and shit.
No.
It was really dramatic.
I'll be honest. I tried to not watch it as much as possible. It was, I watched it like the first time I ever watched it. And that's how I know it traumatized me was like, at like I guess like a family get together and they were like, go hang out with the kids upstairs, and we go upstairs and they're just watching that, and it's like a party at night, and I'm just like, what the
what is going on,
what's going on, what's going on, somebody opens the door, I'm just like, Jesus. Clues.
Yeah, such a good show.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean peak childhood.
Yeah.
They don't make them the same way
at least. Things can more traumatizing than anime as a kid, so
But I think like watching all of that growing up kind of made me realize like cartoons are cool because it's not always just meant for kids. Like you can do really cool things with animation in general, and I think that's kind of like,
absolutely,
you see that with shows nowadays, because outside of even anime you see Western shows like Invincible, for example. Like that stuff is really cool because it's superhero based, it's not so much anime, but it's still animation, and I think that you can just explore a lot of cool stories and get really detailed with it where it wouldn't look great as live action sometimes.
Absolutely. Like even like The Simpsons, right? Where people will be like, oh yeah, anime is for kids, while they're watching The Simpsons like every Saturday or something. Yeah. So it's like, come on.
Like Simpsons, Family Guy, like bro, like they, that's also cartoons. You're just watching adult
literally
cartoons. Yeah. And sometimes it's more fun. And there's always that like really bad stereotype that cartoons are for kids, when I did research a long time ago about this, that cartoons were originally made for adults. Like some of the first animation to ever come out in the States, it was all oriented towards adults. There was never meant for kids. It was always meant to do more adult humor, stuff like that, because it was easier to get away with than like, you know, showing that kind of same thing with actual people, because it was a more conservative time, you know. Like you wouldn't have your actors performing certain things, but in a cartoon it's more unrealistic, so they would just do more adult jokes because it was easier to get away with. Then they started like kind of changing it, and they realized that like you can market to kids a lot better because it helped sell merchandise way more. So once like Disney kind of started getting involved in that, Pixar, all of that, then you start seeing way more animation oriented for children, because that made so much money just off the merchandise that they could sell.
Gotcha.
Right? Like Toy Story, for example, you see that. Even like all the really old Disney princesses, that kind of animation and Mickey Mouse, all that led to just so much merchandise, the theme parks, everything. So it's really interesting when you kind of look back into it.
Already with the tangents. I know, for real. So being such like I'm gonna consider like an OG anime fan, do you have an anime top five?
I do, and it's ebbs and flows. I would say the number one spot for me has always been Naruto. That is like my favorite anime, not considering like Boruto. Like I've gotten into Boruto a little bit, but like Naruto Shippuden, definitely, I consider it concluded, and so it can hold that number one spot for me. One Piece may take the cake once it's done, right? Maybe I hate the ending of One Piece, and so I don't want to rank it at number one just yet. So I would say Naruto, and then I would go One Piece, then I would go Attack on Titan, then I would go Sailor Moon, and then, you know, number five, that's where it kind of ebbs and flows. JJK's in there.
Yeah.
I'm actually a really big MAJ fan, and so I'd say JJK right there right now, just because I'm actually fully caught up in the manga, so that would be my top five.
Are you caught up with the manga as of, like, late or no?
Who are you talking to?
You never talked to me about it, so I don't know what I can say.
I'm trying to keep it low-key from you.
Because it's just us. This is the perfect opportunity.
This is...
Dog, I'm sorry, man. Like, when are we going to get an opportunity to talk about JJK, manga-wise?
Okay. I'll make sure I'll edit this.
And we'll make sure to let him know, too. Oh, I'm sorry. You might have to, like, cover your ears, girl.
Oh, yeah.
I love you.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I love you too.
We'll try to keep it right.
We have, I guess, JJK sweet virgin years in the room. So
our audience members.
The live audience.
I can keep it relatively ambiguous, but what have your thoughts been on the JJK manga recently? Like,
recently? Broadly. You know, I would say I wouldn't consider myself like a writer critic, so I don't really critic things that way. I would say that it's definitely been like at 100 for the last 50 chapters, whatever. It has been just going, just not even, and I wouldn't even say surprise after surprise, because Gege has a really good job at not surprising us. He likes to keep us on our toes when it comes to characters and character deaths. And so, I've been disappointed in a few things that he's done, I would say, but I think he always leaves the window open. It doesn't seem as though he's finite in a lot of the decisions he makes.
Yeah, which that's is the feel that I'm getting to.
Yeah, he does a lot of recollections to characters in the past, and you know, unless I see him in heaven, I don't think they're dead. That's what I'm saying too.
Yeah, it kind of has that same One Piece effect where, like, are they really dead? Like, are they actually gone until you show me a body and you tell me, oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
That's when I'll believe it. One Piece, you could blow up apparently with a bomb and still show up the next chapter, be like, I'm good, don't worry.
Fall into the depths of the earth into magma, and it's still up for debate, right? Yeah,
I still think that, like, Kaido and Big Mom are alive.
Okay,
like, it's just
so what you're telling me, there's a chance Pedro's still alive.
No, Pedro's dead.
Oh, damn.
If I'd honestly be more mad if they came out and said that he was alive,
gotcha,
because they would have done a disservice to his whole moment. The whole reason they were even fighting in the first place, too. Like,
And Carrot, too. Her whole not origin story, but her growing up.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Well, it honestly is part of her origin story at this point, with all the shit that she was exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Like, I think death in shows is really important, and I don't think that you should shy away from it just because everybody likes a character. Like, if it impacts the story in a way where it, like, helps other characters grow, then I think it's worth it to commit to certain character deaths.
Okay.
If you're just killing for like the spectacle of it and just to be like, oh my god, this person died, all right, like, it loses its shine after a while, I guess. Then you just are like, JJK kind of got to that for me.
I was just about to say, JJK, like, kind of seems like you can kill whoever I want.
And like, I can't get attached to anybody because it has a Game of Thrones type of effect where, like, you don't know who's gonna die next. You know,
don't even get me started. You want to talk about freaking more live shows? Don't even get me started. Top 5 for me.
It's so good. Oh, I can't. Yeah. Have you seen House of the Dragon?
Oh yeah, I cannot wait for the second season.
Wow, you are the perfect person for this podcast.
Yeah, for real.
I did not realize. Total
weeb. I know. I'm mostly anime, but I'm telling you, I'm part of a lot of fandoms.
Oh, same. Just about anything that's on the television, I'll consume it.
On the television.
1,000, except for, like, the Kardashians.
No. Maybe not that.
Yeah, I can't do reality.
I say sorry, not sorry, but I really don't care.
Yeah, reality TV is not it for me. There's nothing that even draws me to check it out. I'm like,
that's why I like
so
the
dumb
fantasy stuff, because reality sucks dick.
Well, I will say, my name is based off of Flavor Flav. My Chia
really?
Boy. Yes. Because I used to be obsessed with the Flavor of Love when I was in like sixth grade.
Yeah.
And so he used to always shout, yeah, boy. Yeah, so boy. I would go, yeah, boy. That's the whole origin story of my
that's
name.
That's fine. There's reasoning behind it. I'll take it.
Yeah. That's a different story, though, okay? Flavor Flav was iconic for our, like, development as children.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Like,
big clock and everything.
Early MTV? No, that was vital.
I miss early MTV, bro. It used to be actually like a good channel, man. What happened to the music videos? What happened, man? It had such a good thing going.
Really showing our age with this one. I'm also 29, so, you know.
27.
All right, well, okay. Yeah. Elder millennials, younger millennials.
Over the hump, at least.
Yeah, oh, God.
Jesus.
Now that we know, like, you know, the what got you into anime, what, you know, animes you enjoy, the next, I guess, big question we really have to ask and address is, like, what got you into cosplaying?
Gosh, what got me into cosplaying? I would say, for the most part, I've always had this desire and urge to. I remember being a kid, and my brother Morgan, we're kind of old-timey in that sense. We used to always want to go to Renaissance fairs and that kind of stuff. And, you know, growing up, maybe you don't really have the financial means to partake in that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you get older. I was in the Navy for 6 years and couldn't really cosplay then. As much as I would have wanted to, I would say. I did on the ship once. I sang the Pokemon theme song in cosplay.
Nice.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I think settling down and kind of having the financial means to is what really threw me in there. And even then, I'm thrifting for cosplays and stuff. But it wasn't until actually I started watching One Piece and I saw Kuma specifically. And I thought, you know what? That would be an excellent intro, like, cosplay character. I've already got the hair, kind of already got the face, let's be real. All I need is a bucket hat and a big black jacket, yeah, and I can make this happen. And so it really tested my last minute cosplay creativity, I should say. Ooh, because yeah, I did make the cosplay, right? I cosplayed, or I thrifted the jacket, I bought the white bucket hat, I made the ears, I ironed on all the white, made the pants. My husband had some brown boots and I was like, I'm about to steal these, sucker. And so I did. And yeah, that's really what jumped me into actually going like full speed ahead into trying different things and wigs and makeup. And so yeah, definitely, nice. Definitely seeing Kuma threw me over the edge.
I love it because I've never seen a Kuma cosplay and you nailed it. It yeah, looks so good.
Thank like, you. I appreciate that. Ripping, I remember like, Googling it.
Yeah, no, it was so solid. Like when he showed me your profile, I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I like it when cosplayers do different characters than what everyone else does.
Yes.
Like, trust me, yeah, I love like all the Nami Robin cosplays, but like you see so many of them sometimes. I like people who are very specific. I'm like, no, like this character I think doesn't get enough representation sometimes, mm-hmm, you know, and like go for it.
Absolutely.
Especially yeah, with a show like One Piece, there's so many characters to choose from.
So many. I did Portia from the freaking the Foxy Pirates.
Oh,
you know?
Nice.
And that was like my second cosplay maybe. I was like, I would buy a red jumpsuit and I could just play Portia. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, nothing against cosplaying popular characters. I think for me specifically, I enjoy cosplaying characters that A, require minimal effort when it comes to like wigs, because at a convention, right, it kind of sucks to wear a wig all day, mm-hmm, or like being a full face of makeup.
Right.
And be comfortable, I think. And so it was all about being comfortable in my cosplays at first. And now I'm kind of venturing out into like, I did a Femme King and I was in all leather and I was like, I cannot wear this in the Texas heat. Like, there's no way I'm going to a cosplay convention
right,
in this.
Right, right.
So,
that's cool. You're yeah, in Texas?
What part of Texas?
I am. San Antonio.
That's...
Yo, we're in Houston.
You guys are in Austin?
No, we're Houston. In Houston.
Oh, what the heck? Yeah. You know, I've never been to Houston, so...
Yo. I'm just saying, Anime Matsuri is, like, right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. We have a convention.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's one in August called Anime Matsuri that we try to go to every year. That one's really fun, and we like to go out and make content and kind of just, you know... That's, like, our main convention that we go to. And we are, yeah, like, looking to, you know, try different conventions, mm-hmm, too. And San Antonio has some really good ones that I've seen over the last year.
Yeah. So yeah, they just had Riverwalk Anime, which I meant to do... But didn't actually get, I completely forgot the dates, and then I'm in a boot now, so it's not like I can get around to these things.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
Yeah, and so, yeah, there's Big Texas that's coming up, and then there's DreamCon in Austin, which is like one of the bigger Texas conventions that, mm-hmm, that I plan on going to this year, yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
There's also one, I don't know if y'all have heard of it, it's called NostalgiaCon, I think. Have y'all heard of
it? I have heard of NostalgiaCon. I think, did it just pass or is it about to pass?
It might be about to pass, but that one's really cool because it has like a lot of anime voice actors, but it's also just more like your nostalgic cartoons. Mm. All those voice actors are showing up. I think like a lot of the
Power
old school
Rangers.
Power Rangers are going to be there. I think a lot of maybe the Avatar might be there too, potentially.
Think so. I know Dante Bosco likes to go to a lot of those type of conventions and stuff. He was one of the first yeah, voice actors I met too.
Mm-hmm. I also think Frankie's voice actor is gonna be there, the guy who does Endeavor, Frankie,
the guy that we want to play
Thomas Andre.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, he's gonna be there, and I don't see him do a lot of conventions, so I saw a lot of voice actors. I'm like, oh, like I don't see you very often like going around. And I think Nico Robbins voice actor might be there too.
Oh, that's a good reason to go then.
Yeah, but I think it's relatively
very rare that she goes to any conventions.
Yeah, it's hard to find her places.
Mm-hmm.
I know people win the Going Merry and the Thousand Sunny Funko Pops got released. People were trying to get it signed by every mm-hmm, English voice actor, and that's what was one of the complaints, right? It was like, I can never find a Robin at a good.
Yep,
we have a friend that actually did that.
Yeah, I think he's literally missing Robin and Frankie's voice actors, and that's
yep,
it.
Yeah,
all he's missing. He has both the Sunny. Oh my god, his fucking One Piece collection pissed me off. He has so much shit that
he has like the he has the fucking coolest shit you can get as like a One Piece collector. It's he's a piece of
resin
shit.
Statues. I'm assuming he got some resin statues.
Oh, he got the glass cases now too, bro. He sent me videos of it. Oh, and I remember when his collection was like a couple bookshelves. I've had this friend for a long time. His name's Eric. He's actually been on this podcast a couple times before. He used to be like my manga person whenever I felt like doing a One Piece manga episode. I was like, Emery, Gary, fuck off. I'm trying to do a manga episode this time. So they would literally just go to another room, hang out in the living room, and then I'd be up here with Eric and we would talk about like the most current things. We'd do like a good hour and a half to 2 hour recap of the manga. We did like a Wano recap and a little bit of an Egghead recap at the time. And we haven't done that in a long time, but it was it was fun talking to him because he's the he's one of the reasons I also started watching One Piece between him and then these two.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You'd think you'd listen to more of the animes I recommend you.
No, because then you're gonna be like, I was right, and I don't want you to be right.
Fuck you.
I don't want
you
to give
you
that.
Sitting there in V-Star shirts.
Exactly. Yeah. No.
Absolutely not. I am trying to get him to watch that.
No, not yet. Not anytime soon. I'll probably watch
it. I still want to.
You haven't seen it either?
I haven't. I haven't.
It's solid. I like to. If you get past the stigma, honestly, just get past.
I mean, even with the stigma.
It's got a really good story. It's got good characters.
The thing is, I believe
I would,
you.
The thing about I would
I just don't want
to. I'd
watch
expect it. You to like it because it's about theater kids.
That some trust me, you'd think that'd be a selling point sometimes, but sometimes it just reminds you of like how cringe theater kids can be.
Okay, that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't want to relive my high school drama.
That's fair. Okay. So yeah, but definitely we'll have to definitely link up for a. For a con though,
yeah,
I would love
sure.
that.
Absolutely.
I have
a
friend
we're all
in San Antonio. Yeah, we've been wanting to like at some point go out to visit him, but he's been on our podcast probably the most times. His name's Sam, and he has crazy anime takes. So if we ever end up doing like a trip to San Antonio, we'll definitely reach out to you. So that would be really
absolutely
cool to do in person.
Please.
And then if you come to Houston, we'll definitely do an episode with you live in the studio because that would be fucking
oh,
awesome.
Oh heck yeah!
Yeah,
heck
then you can see the whole collection and how fucking crazy that is,
right?
And I can see how small the room really is.
Yeah. Oh god, it gets so hot in here.
Oh yeah, no, you can put four people in this room and you're like, damn.
A little claustrophobic.
A little bit. That's why we take our breaks in between. Like we'll just go and kind of like let the room cool off for a little bit and then come back in. But it looks great on camera.
Now, so we can keep interrogating. What's I think this is kind of a difficult question to ask. But do you have like a favorite anime character?
You know, I do, and I think I've like dipped into simp talk quite a bit, right? Where you know, people are simping over characters, and my number one. Okay, all right. Well, that's good to know. Maybe we'll get into some of our simp hot takes later, or hear me out, I should say. But
Jiraiya Sensei. I kind of like that. Hear me out.
Yeah. The hear me out. We could have a hear me out segment. How's that sound?
I like that.
But yeah, no, you can kind of see on the wall here, I've got my three top anime men. Okay. But Jiraiya Sensei, Legendary Sanin, Pervy Sage is my number one anime character of all time.
Okay.
With Zoro following a close second. And Zoro is my favorite One Piece character to preclude your second question.
Next question.
It's found a best
friend. You can be one of my friends for life now. I'm a Zoro ride or die till
me?
I die. Like
me too. And you know, I think he gets a lot of hate especially from Sanji lovers. And maybe this is delving into simp talk a little bit, but it's like, man, have your
tension.
Blonde boy. Have your blonde boy. My boy is second best. I don't care what you have to say. Yeah. Like
I mean
I love Zoro.
You should put the headphones on. You might enjoy this conversation.
Our little producer.
So she's a ride or die law.
Okay.
That was the reaction right away. You're like,
No, here's the thing. My brother cosplays law. So it's kind of watered down for me a little bit.
Okay,
simping for him a little bit. I'm just like, it's kind of weird if I'm sitting there and I'm like, law is like, oh, then my brother would be like, hold on, I cosplay him. And I'm gonna be like, relax, buddy.
Yeah,
not you.
I appreciated the female law episode, though. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Very much.
Mm-hmm. But she's very also much so. She's a strong Zoro and Sanji ship.
Oh, Zosan.
Oh yeah.
It has a name.
Yes, Zosan. It has a name. I am here for it. Oh yeah, Robin, Zosan. I don't ship Luffy with anybody, but
thank you.
If I did ship Luffy with anybody, it'd be probably Nami. Honestly, I really don't. I wouldn't want him to be like anybody else. I'm not a fan of him and Boa at all.
Not
really.
At all. No,
that's cringe.
No, I don't hate Boa the way these guys do, but I don't like her.
Boa's a predator.
Listen.
I hated Amazon Lily. I'm not gonna lie. I think it was such an uncomfortable and fan service for the dudes for sure. I mean, we saw a glimpse of Luffy's buns, and that was like a little too much for me. Okay, we're talking about his nuts. Yeah, we're talking about his
that
nuts.
That was a little out of pocket.
It's family jewels.
Family jewels.
Yes, it's family jewels. That's what. Oh, this is what jewels look like.
Yeah. Just had a bunch of women trying to pull that last mushroom off.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, this is getting. I don't even have balls, and this is a little weird for me.
Well, I will say, Amazon Lily was definitely weird after the shit that happened in fucking Sabaody. It was a very quick tonal shift.
Yeah. Like,
things. I'll give you that. I think Boa gets a lot of hate sometimes. Like, they don't like her because. She is supposed to be like what, like a powerful. Give me your reasoning, I guess, why you don't like Boa.
She kicks cats.
Oh, she does kick cats. That's another reason.
But she hasn't done that in like 2 years, probably.
I don't care.
She probably does it for fun.
Like the thing, the issue is like, if it wasn't a cat, it would have been something else. It would have been
a dog. Then I wouldn't have liked her as much.
See, exactly. What if it was just what if it was just a black lab walking past her? Just...
Unless it's a chihuahua, like yeah, no. Like who wouldn't want to kick a chihuahua? I'm sorry, I might need to cut that. Listen, chihuahuas are just a little annoying for me. I'm not a fan, but
it's okay. Who are you talking to?
Yeah, dog discourse.
I have a bad experience with chihuahuas. They fucking suck.
Fair
enough. Yeah, personal experience.
But it's also. It's like
the way she like simps over Luffy.
It's that, man. I love her just powerful woman. I love that side of her. It's great.
Right.
It's very attractive. Right. But then the moment she turns into this super simp, I'm just like, why?
But don't you think it's kind of go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, I think it's equally as annoying as like Sanji when he simps and how bad it gets. Like in Fishman Island, right? Like at some point you're just like, get over it, right? And so I think that's where it gets for me. I'm just like, okay. There are some bits that go a little too far and a little too long, like in Family Guy, where he hits his knee and he's like, like 30 minutes of that? Come on. I don't want to see that.
No, I agree. Like the Sanji stuff is cool, but I hated when like, remember when he got his the invisibility stuff and he was like in the bathhouse and
shower,
like, dude, come on, you're supposed to be like chivalrous, you're supposed to respect women, like that's your whole thing. That is the opposite of that, like that's the cringy side of it that just kind of ruins a little bit of Sanji's character. Like it's,
absolutely that's coming from someone who's a Jiraiya simp, so it's like I get the whole pervy aspect, but I do think, but I'm willing to admit that, you know, he's obviously, it's weird his simp nature. I think there's levels to it though, and I think that's definitely a gray area. It's a little
At least it's not like always consistently like annoyingly pervy. Sometimes it just does get a little tiresome, I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
I will say for Boa, like at the very least, it's not like she just simps over any man or any other character. Like of all people in the world, if it's gonna be Luffy, then I'm kind of okay with it. Like, yeah, he is the anomaly too, like, that kind of, like, makes it to where, you know, if she were to simp for anybody, why not be, like, the future Pirate King? That's, like, the argument.
But think about, like, why, right? She simps for Luffy because Luffy doesn't simp for her. Because he can't, she can't use... Yeah, you know, like, I think it's... If he did simp for her, would she still feel the same because it's Luffy, right? It's exactly. Like,
But I think that's what makes it.
But I love
situation.
The Gorgon aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But,
well, like, Luffy is that guy. Like, he doesn't care. Like... Anybody else would simp over her. Like, I mean, you saw what happened to Sanji as soon as he saw Boa. Mm-hmm. Immediately turned to stone. But, like, I think the relationship of Boa simping so much over Luffy because he doesn't care that much about her, at least romantically speaking, I think it adds to Luffy's character because it just shows that, like, he's genuinely just a driven and,
absolutely.
Like, he doesn't have time for this kind of stuff. All he wants to do is go on an adventure and find the One Piece. Like, that is his goal. Anything else is kind of just like, whatever. Like, I don't
What if
I don't care?
What if
that's a good point of view.
Luffy reciprocating the love to Boa was a prerequisite to awakening her devil fruit.
Say it again. What do you
mean? Okay, so you know how her fruit is the love fruit, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What if the prerequisite for awakening it was for the one person she loves?
Uh huh.
To love her back.
To love her back.
Oh, poor Boa. She's never gonna awaken her fruit. Never gonna happen.
Double fruits are tricky like that, you know.
I couldn't even imagine what her fruit would be like awakened.
Oh, everywhere, anybody that's like touched by her haki is essentially just bumped on.
That's broken.
Or if
as
you
shit.
Even think about her, just
yes. Dumb. Oh, that'd be broken as fuck. Yeah, maybe it's a good thing it hasn't awakened. Because she's a paramecia, right?
Yes.
And she has like the love beam the way like the slow beam was for Foxy. So maybe she wouldn't have to like actually do that whole thing. Maybe it could just be more of like an area of effect type stuff.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah.
We always end up settling on like making a room or something.
Yeah, literally. I was going to say unless the love beam was just for visual effects, but I think beam being in the name actually does sound just like Foxy, so right. Dang.
Remember,
dang,
Luffy
yeah,
did
just...
think that it was a slow beam at first.
Yeah, he's like,
yeah,
no,
he
the
did.
Slow beam.
Like,
he's so funny.
So dumb.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't mind Boa too much. She's not my favorite character, but I think she has cool moments overall, and I do agree with you. I like when she's like really badass and stick. Like when she was fighting
for sure. The
Blackbeard.
Movies.
The movies, yeah, she's pretty good in the movies. That whole scene with Blackbeard when like he had her trapped and everything, like she didn't really waver. Like, yeah, she was kind of like, you know, at a disadvantage, but she wasn't like begging for her life. She wasn't like, you know, she was just strong and confident, be like, do what you will, like you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty badass.
Do you have a least favorite One Piece character?
Gosh, a least favorite? I mean, I think that's fresh in my mind. You know, I'm not going to say who my least favorite is right now based off of manga. I'll say I really did not like Orochi in the Wano arc. I think that's he's easy to hate though, and it's unlike Doflamingo where it's like you love Doflamingo but you hate Doflamingo, right?
You love to hate him.
Exactly. Orochi and just I think how I don't know diabolical he was and just like that snake aspect. Obviously, I think Orochi has to do with like snakes in Japanese and stuff in general, but just that kind of character alone I don't really vibe with, and so definitely not. And I would say he's probably my least favorite at the moment.
That's a good yeah.
Most recently,
He's just very easy to hate. Yeah, I agree. They write him in a way where he has no redeeming qualities. At least like Doflamingo, he was a piece of shit, but he had an interesting story that kind of makes sense for why he's a piece of shit.
Okay, so quick question though: if he's written to be hated, is he not then a good written character?
And like that's the argument that you could make if you're supposed
to.
We're
talking about Doflamingo or Orochi?
Orochi. Cause like
I mean,
I had this thing, and I hope this doesn't start a tangent. I'm sorry.
It will.
I don't know if you're a Harry Potter fan, but in the fifth movie, Dolores Umbridge.
Okay.
Everybody fucking hates her. Everybody.
Oh, and is an actress too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. When I found out that she was gonna be playing the queen in the Crown series, I was like, get the fuck out of here. I'm about to stop watching this damn series. But
because you don't like her that much.
But God, it's the reason I hate her so much is because she did such a good job at portraying that
Joffrey Baratheon.
Mm-hmm.
Like same thing with Joffrey. You see him and you immediately dislike him, but that's the point. Like they were written to be characters that you despise because of their impact on the story. So that's a good argument. Like they're a well-written character if you end up having that visceral reaction to them.
Yeah. But I think maybe mine isn't so much that like I hate him so much. It's just because I don't like his character. And that's why I don't think he's, I'm not gonna say he wasn't well written. I just think it's like he's easy to hate.
Yeah.
He did the job of a villain in that arc.
He
instead
was
of where,
more
like,
basic, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it's easy to write a villain where it's like this guy betrays this guy and then tries to kill this guy. That's easy, right? Without adding any dimension to it. And so I would say Orochi just because I just didn't really like him.
Yeah, I think that they like probably could have maybe not, I'm not saying give him redeeming qualities, but I think, like, for example, when you compare Orochi and Kaido, they were both bad people, to say the least, right?
Yeah.
Kaido
yeah.
was just as much of a scumbag, and he did also, like, horrible things to the country of Wano, to Yamato, to Odin, to, like, everything he did was not great, but he was a little bit more complex of a character, and you got to see more of that stuff. Like, he had some slightly redeeming qualities through his experiences with, like, the Rocks Pirates, and him moving up in the ranks to be a Yonko. Like, again, it's a little bit more depth that I think justifies sometimes, like, yeah, you could do a lot of bad things and be a bad person, but I still like you as a character, even though great.
And he doesn't play dirty. I think that was his most redeeming quality, yeah, right? Like, Orochi totally plays dirty.
And that's probably what
Kaido, who's equally as a scumbag, like you said. Yeah, exactly. Agreed. It's like, this guy just wouldn't accept losing if it meant dirt in his eye, right?
Yeah.
That's the difference between, like, a bad guy and a scumbag.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, true.
One of the examples that I always like to bring up is, like, in JJK, how do you feel about Mahito?
Here's the thing. He's my Doflamingo. He's, really? Like, more so than Sukuna, right? Like, he's my Doflamingo, where it's just like, you hate this guy. But, man, was he well-written.
Yeah,
like,
see?
Like, God, he's evil.
And I was telling Gary that, too, because Gary is anime only for JJK. So before the season two, before, like, all of Shibuya got animated, I would keep telling him, like, bro, like, there's going to be a character that you're going to fucking hate, like, way more than you ever thought you would. And he's like, who's a Mahito? And I'm like, I'm not going to tell you. Yes. And after he saw, because, like, and I knew specifically for him, because, again, spoiler warning, if you haven't seen Shibuya, I guess, for JJK, like, Nanami was Gary's favorite character in the show.
Oh, mine too.
And, you know, when you have a character be directly responsible for that, yeah, you can't help but hate him.
Yeah. Well, and, like, I think, too, there's that difference in types of characters, right? There's these bad guys in One Piece who are, I would say, for, I guess, lack of better words, human, right? Regardless of devil fruit abilities. They're humans, you think they have these moral qualities to them, versus literal curses in JJK, who you expect to be evil and do these things. And then he goes a layer deeper than just being evil and is just, like, disgusting.
Yeah.
And I think that's where Mahito sits, you know? So.
Yeah. No, he was a menace to society. Loved it because he drove the plot, like, without him, Shibuya Incident would not have been as great as it was.
Nope.
God.
What about you guys? I don't know if you've answered this on your podcast before. Do you guys have least favorite characters? Most hated, yeah.
In all of anime or specifically One Piece?
What One Piece, yeah.
One Piece.
Damn.
It's hard, right?
Yeah, that is tough.
This is my podcast now.
No, I like answering the questions, too. One of the first characters that comes to mind is, like, Cordy Jones from Fishman Island.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I hate him. He's such a dumb, like, character. He's pointless, and he was just a knockoff Arlong, I think, and it just didn't work.
Okay.
For me, I think it was just, he didn't live up to the hype that, like, Arlong did, and this is, like, a pre-time skip villain. I think Cordy was just, I don't know, he came off, like, desperate to try to be really strong, and he just kept, like, not living up to the standard of a One Piece villain, I think.
Fair. That's, what about Vanderdecken then? Do you?
Vanderdecken's a fucking scumbag creep. And creep.
Yeah.
And I do not like him.
He's easy to hate.
One of those easy to hate because there's nothing to him. He's just a creep, and that's all he's good for.
Fair
he's
enough.
Just being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hordy was the main villain of this arc, and he was supposed to have more depth because of his history with Arlong and everything. And to a certain extent, sure, he did have some depth, but it wasn't, like, a good enough reason, in my opinion. I think he just hated humans because the plot needed him to hate humans.
Absolutely.
Personally speaking.
Yeah.
No, I have my opinions on Fishman Island as an arc as a whole that I think are separate from the storyline, more so for character development as a whole. So.
Yeah.
Oh, they fucking ruined Fishman Island for me.
Yeah, he used to like
it. I used to like it, and then they explained everything to me, and I was like, huh? Like, once he pointed out, he's like, you know, Zoro beat the main villain before Luffy did? And I was like, oh, yeah, he did do that. And he was like, and he was underwater. I was like, oh, that's a good point. What happens when Zoro's not underwater? And then, you know, you see everything and it's like, oh.
You realize that there are no stakes because all of the Straw Hats were just nerfed the entire time. Like, giving the...
Exactly.
Luffy was underwater.
Yeah, Luffy was underwater. he had to fight inside a bubble. Like, he was incredibly restricted. You know for a fact that if this took place above ground, it'd be over in, like, a few seconds. Mm-hmm. There was no chance for them. And I think once you realize that there's no stakes, then you're just like, why do I care?
You know what the nail in the coffin was for me, though? Gary pointing out that Luffy used a fire type move on a fucking water type.
Oh, it's Pokemon.
Pokemon logic. When you think about it, it's just like,
it's very effective, apparently.
Like, how?
Dota. What about you? What's your least favorite character?
I mean, I got like, I would say probably like three. I really just don't like. First one's Kainu.
Kainu?
Mm-hmm.
You defend him all the time.
Yeah, man. Man was just doing his job.
He is literally the number one Kainu defender, and then comes out here saying he hates him.
Yeah, because he still killed Ace, man.
Yeah.
You heard it here.
He was just doing his job, though.
He was just doing his job.
Exactly. Like, love to hate him.
He was excessively doing his job, that's for sure.
Listen, man, Kobe needed to be put in his place.
Was part of his job also killing his own subordinates?
Kobe needed to be put in his place.
I'm talking about the other Marines that he actually killed.
They needed to be put in their place, too.
The ground oh 6 feet under?
Hey, listen. Casualties of war, bro.
No, when you're responsible for your own men.
Whitebeard was on the fucking field, man. Like, there's, you know, there's only so much you can do.
Do what you gotta do.
Whatever you say, buddy.
You also know I really don't like Buggy.
I wish that you liked Buggy more.
Is it that trope of him always being kind of a sucker, but also winning every time?
Yeah. But, okay.
It's his least favorite character trope.
Yeah, it is. That's fair. I don't like failing upward tactic.
That's fair. Absolutely.
The other thing is, like, and I was kind of thinking about this when you asked the question, was that, like, also another thing is, like, most of the time he's a fucking coward.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just...
Big one.
It's just not the character aspects I resonate with. I like my badasses. Mm-hmm. I know I'm just a boy.
Counterpoint. He did, like, declare that he wanted to find the One Piece on his own when, like, Mihawk and Crocodile told him that, like, hey, like, chill out, like, we're in charge or whatever. And he went out of his way to, like, no, like, I want to find the One Piece. Because he genuinely does.
Yeah.
He had the balls to at least say that while he was decapitated, essentially.
Yeah.
It's very rare that Buggy gets moments like that. But I will say, like, I think, like, they're nice when they do come. But he is supposed to be played for jokes.
Yeah, I mean, he's a clown.
He's a clown. But, dude, I'm not going to lie. Like, part of me really thinks he's going to be in the show till the very end. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being on Laugh Tale.
Like, he's not, like, he's been a smoking gun this entire time. They keep bringing him up because it's going to be relevant in the end. Yeah.
I really think that he might just be there. Like, I hope he's not the one to find the One Piece first. I hope he doesn't become King of the Pirates. I love the joke. Realistically, like, I need it to be Luffy. But I would not be surprised if he ends up being pivotal to the story at that point when we do get to Laugh Tale.
So Buggy's just the longest running Chef Goss gun?
Yeah, literally. That's what it's called.
I taught you what Chekhov's gun meant one time, and now you're looking for it everywhere
in media, bro.
Yeah, but like, I think it'd be cool, but just the joke needs to have like a line that it doesn't cross, in my opinion, because then you just kind of like, you know, what was the point of the whole story of Luffy?
It's a fun joke.
That's why
it's
I
a
go
fun
back
joke,
to.
But...
What's the way
you
go back
exactly. You don't know how it's. No, you're good. I was gonna say it just goes back to what I was saying at the very beginning with you don't know how it's going to end, and who knows? That could be a defining factor for me, right? Like, if Buggy finds the One Piece, that might be like, okay, One Piece is up there, but it's not number one for me anymore, right? Like,
yeah, that
and
would
not to say that like
take off points in my opinion.
It would. It's just like the last season of Game of Thrones for a lot of people. It like ruined the show for them. It's just like, but the show is still phenomenal.
Exactly. That's my argument with so many shows. Like, if a show has a poor ending, it doesn't always like mean that just the show is bad. Like for Game of Thrones, again, I agree. I did not like the ending at all. He did, and Gary did or something.
I liked it.
I didn't like it.
I read the books though, so it was like they went in separate directions.
Yeah, that's
so
the timing. Yeah.
That's a whole nother tangent we could go on, but no.
Like, just because the ending was bad does not mean, like, I recommended Game of Thrones no matter what to everybody because I think it's a phenomenal series. Yeah, I got most of these guys to watch it, but I did warn them, like, the ending is very controversial, so, you know, take it as, I still think it's worth watching all of it.
Absolutely.
The ending doesn't diminish it, and that happens with movies, TV shows, everything in my one of my other favorite shows is like I Met Your Mother. Was not a fan of that ending at all.
I haven't seen it.
I won't spoil it, but it was a sitcom, right? And again, that falls into that trope of like phenomenal series, didn't stick the landing, and then everyone
New Girl
shits on it. Did it not have a good ending either?
I think it ended bad and poorly. It's kind of like how Game of Thrones did, because they had to rush the last season and didn't know if they're going to come back. People were focused on other things, and so it sucks when a show ends like that too, because the writers don't have enough time to give it the attention it deserves or needs. And so maybe that's how I Met Your Mother was too, where it was just like, we don't know if we're coming back, we kind of just want to end this, we don't want to keep writing, and you know, character development kind of comes to a halt and stuff. But
I don't know, it could have been a combination of all of that, honestly. But I think it kind of like just the ending for that one specifically, then I won't, you know, in case you haven't seen it, I'm not gonna say anything, but it kind of goes backwards on the entire premise of the story up till then. Like, you're promised you know, the mother, that's the whole point of the story, and then it doesn't really amount to anything in the end because of reasons, so I'll just keep it vague.
Like Hunter Hunter, hopefully we get the ending of Hunter Hunter, right?
God.
Oh my god, I don't know. Well, I don't even know.
That's a conversation we've had for a while. It's the anime, what the anime's put out, chef's kiss. Like, quite honestly, like, they left it enough to be like vague enough to just be like, whoa, what else is out there? That's a cool concept. That's like, that's fine. Like, it's okay leaving wanting more, but if you're gonna go diving into more, you better fucking find a way to seal that shit up.
Like,
absolutely.
It's okay to tease. Don't go diving in if you can't fucking swim.
That's a good way to phrase it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm personally okay with Hunter x Hunter as the anime, like, from beginning to end of the anime. I think it's fine. It's an ambiguous ending, but it gives you kind of what you wanted from the first episode.
You get him to find his dad.
Yeah, he finds his dad. Isn't that the main driving storyline, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Very true. Very true.
I would say
it leaves it open for a continuation if they want to continue. You're right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What I think it could benefit from is, like, if he does end up finishing the story, you know, years from now or whatever, I think Hunter x Hunter would make more sense as, like, kind of a Shippuden type thing, where, like, make it a different show, almost. Not a different show, just a continuation, but in a different format. It's not like, oh, Hunter x Hunter's coming back, more episodes, because it's been such a long time from the ending of the anime.
Kind of like what they did with Bleach, Thousand Year Blood War.
Yeah, that's a perfect example. They
very much so.
Hunter x Hunter, Dark Continent.
Then, the Dark Continent. Make it its own series, essentially, where you can pace it really properly. Make it a seasonal thing. Don't do what they did back in the day, because I don't think it would work anymore.
No.
But just continuing anime week by week by week. Like, One Piece is one of the few ones that can pull that off still somehow.
It's only because of Oda.
I mean, it's only because of Oda. Like, I genuinely think he gets special treatment with Toei Animation.
How much he's able to pump out.
Yeah, it's very rare mangakas can do that now. So I think if you were to adapt everything that's been in the manga for Hunter x Hunter and create its own Thousand Year Blood War version of Hunter x Hunter, make it seasonal or divided into parts or cores or whatever you want, that could be really cool. Then they can control the pacing really well, spend the time with, like, updated animation, because now it is also, like, over 10 years since the anime came out. It came out in 2011. Yeah. So, you know, it could be due for another upgrade. And it did wonders for Bleach. Why wouldn't it do the same for Hunter x Hunter?
Oh, yeah. Bleach back on the radar. That's another one I should have put up there with, you know, interchangeability, because especially since I caught up in Thousand Year Blood War, I'm like, holy crap.
I haven't read the manga for Thousand Year Blood War. I've just been watching the anime because I've been enjoying it. So good.
Same.
The anime is so fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
I had a quick question, just kind of go back one of our things earlier. If, let's say, Zoro found the One Piece first, how would you feel about that? That's a question.
Here's the thing. I think Zoro finding the One Piece wouldn't matter, because I think it would be like, hey Luffy, I found the One Piece, and it would just be like a trade-off, right? He wouldn't be like a selfish second in command, in my opinion, or that's not what he desires either. As for a lot of the Straw Hats, right, you know, what they want, why they're on the crew, is to support their captain, I would say, you know, second to their actual dream, and so maybe even first to their actual dream, but that is Luffy's dream, and so I think they're all in support of, if anybody on the crew, in my opinion, found it would be like, look what we got for you, bud.
Yeah.
And a big smack on the head, right?
I found it
first.
My ideal situation would be all of them finding it at the same time. Like, I would want it to be the whole Straw Hat crew is together and they stumble upon it. And it's all like a revelation all at once. Kind of the way it was for Roger.
Right.
But they all saw it and they all laughed. I want the same thing, but with the Straw Hats.
Yeah. It's just a mirror and it's them together as a crew. Power of friendship.
No. It was the friends we made along the way. That was the One Piece.
Jeez.
That might take it off of a top five if that's what the One Piece ends up
being. Yeah. If it ends up being like that, I'm sure a lot of people are probably going to want to burn fucking Japan to the ground.
Yeah. I need something tangible. I don't give a shit what it is, but give me something tangible because that's what he said it was. If you still want to do the power of friendship as like a motif, a theme, or whatever, cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care. It basically was the power of friendship. Give me something tangible. Give me something.
A mirror.
A mirror. I don't give a
mirror,
shit. Give me the first manga volume of One Piece. They're like, we're a manga. Like, if that was the One Piece, I think that'd be fucking hilarious.
The third
and I think
wall?
That'd be funny.
Just breaks right through.
The third wall? That's hilarious.
Come on. Like, if Roger saw that and he laughed because it's like, oh my god, it's our story. Like,
it's how this guy.
Mm-hmm. Why else would, like, Luffy have cartoon powers that break the fourth wall anyways?
Yeah.
That's my personal headcanon, and I think it'd be funny.
Like,
that's what the world government's trying to cover up. They don't want anybody to know. It's like, dude, reality's not real,
like,
dude. We're in a story. You guys can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
funny. Man, that's funny.
It's a good thing we record these, so that way, like, in 10 years when One Piece ends, we'll look back and be how right or how wrong we were.
Yeah, seriously.
And so, speaking of the ending of One Piece, Taylor, are there, like, certain things that you feel like, as a One Piece fan, you want or need to see done in the anime or in the manga before the show ends? Like, for example, one of ours is a Shanks versus Luffy fight, or confrontation at the very least. Like, something that you feel like we need to see this before the end of One Piece?
The one thing I've said since he first appeared on screen is we need to see Dragon's powers.
Honestly.
If he has power. That is the one thing, regardless of versus battles, who he fights, if he fights, if he perishes. I want to see what this fool can do, because there's no way he's the leader of the revolutionaries without having some sort of... he's got to
do something, my guy.
Yeah, literally. And people, you know, speculate that he can control the wind and all this stuff. And I'm like, bro, if that's it, then that's dope. But, like, I got to see him do a hockey punch or something.
Bro, like, we've gotten that from the most unsuspecting characters, and we're like, we've gotten them from these, but we haven't seen Dragon do shit.
And I need it.
He's really good at looking east and looking west.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is.
He says that before.
You know, I didn't even think about that, but that's definitely it. That's definitely it.
Yeah, no, I would want to get some kind of confirmation because, I mean, yeah, you're right. He's the leader of the Revolutionary Army, and we've seen what Kuma can do, what. Sabo, Koala, Ivankov, everybody. Like, and they are powerhouses on their own, and they all look up to this man to lead them. You gotta, like, step up. And
there's no way he's got the power of persuasion. You know what I mean? He's got an actual...
Plot twist. He knows Talk No Jutsu.
Talk No Jutsu. Yeah. Barely talks.
Watch Naruto.
Barely fucking talks.
That's the trick.
It's the wind. It's just the wind.
Think about it, bro. He got Smoker to lay off Luffy, bro.
Yeah, sure.
Talk No Jutsu.
He would have overpowered the fuck out of Smoker.
I'm sure.
I do. And if Smoker stood down.
Dog, I want a Smoker redemption arc. I want Smoker to be back in, like, the story and be really relevant again.
Why?
I don't know. I just like Smoker.
I really want to see a divide among the Marines based off of their morals.
Yes.
You know, and I want to see... Well,
Civil War in the... That'd be cool.
Yeah, where specific people lie, even Akainu. And I was going to ask you this earlier, Emery, with Akainu's, you know, strong desire for justice, whether or not he's aware of Emu or if he's aware of all of these higher powers and stuff that weren't necessarily prevalent. And so if he finds out that, bro, there really is somebody doing all these things on the back end and we're really not the good guys, like, I want to see if Akainu would really flip switches and what his role would be in that regard.
It's a good question.
Okay, so, man. That's a really, really good question, actually. Because, like, then it just brings up that question. It brings up a question of, if you were taught to uphold this standard, you are here to, like, essentially protect the empty throne. How do you feel when you find out it was never fucking empty?
that you've been exactly. lied to from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. and at what price, mm-hmm. right? Friggin' like,
the sheer amount of people he has probably killed, not knowing for just one person, essentially.
Well, it never really seemed like he was ever like upset at having to carry out that like, you know, harsh judgment and justice. Like, mm-hmm. remember the O'Hara incident, bro? Without a thought, he sunk that boat of like people that were escaping. He's like, no survivors. Like, nobody can know about this. That's excessive, right? But mm-hmm. that is also if he's believing in what he represents as an admiral or a vice admiral or whatever, as a Marine in general. So I honestly think that if he were to learn the truth, he would start questioning his loyalties. And I think he could have the potential to maybe switch sides, but at the very least.
It depends on how he finds out.
Yeah.
If the Gorosei were like, listen, turns out Straw Hat Luffy's kind of like, you know, not somebody we need to be fucking around with. Like, we need you to know everything now. Mm-hmm. Then I can see him being like, okay, I understand. Like, you didn't tell me because, like, you had to, like, withhold this part of the balance. Like, this, what I've been doing is low-key been helping you withhold this.
Yeah.
Cool. If he finds out from, like, fucking somebody else, like, if, like, I don't, Sabo fucking showed up and told him or some shit, mm-hmm. yeah. then I can see some shit shifting.
He finds it in Big News Morgan's freaking newspaper, and he's like,
yeah, if it was something like that big.
Oh, then I would have money on saying, like, oh, he's going to go kill somebody.
Yeah, because I think what really determines their loyalties is also how they feel about the world government as a whole, and specifically, like, Celestial Dragon. Mm-hmm. Like, we know Garp's position that he hates Celestial Dragon, mm-hmm. so we know for a fact that I put him in the camp of being, like, the good moral Marines, like,
yeah,
you know, like part of that divide where like there's evil Marines and there's good ones. Kobe would also be in that camp. I still think Aokiji is just undercover, to be honest.
I want that to be the case.
It has to
so
be the
bad
case. I think he's just undercover with being part of the Black
I mean, yeah, we've been saying this.
Yeah,
again, like, he's like just an agent of S.W.O.R.D.
Yeah, I think he's just like an undercover agent of S.W.O.R.D. and that he's just like there to get more intel on Blackbeard. Deep cover. Yeah. I mean, nothing's been confirmed, but that's what I think. I still put out.
And even if it was for the revolutionaries too, you know, like.
Whoa, that would be cool.
That could be interesting. Yeah.
Freedom fighters for real.
I also put Fujitora in the camp of like being a good Marine.
Oh yeah, Sengoku.
Yep.
Sengoku for sure. Yeah, Sengoku would be part of the good ones. Ex Drake too.
Because X Drake's basically anybody that like you know is associated with S.W.O.R.D. It seems like whoever's in S.W.O.R.D. is more decent people.
The wild cards I think would be more so like Green Bull. Him, I don't know. I think he would maybe stay on the wrong side because he's just blindly following orders.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, well, he's adamant about his opinions on the Celestial Dragons. Like he's like they're literally gods, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like he has his opinions that aren't changing.
Exactly. And I think Kizaru is also a wild card. Him, I don't know. I can't say for sure what he would do.
And we can't really get too deep into that.
We can't get into that at all.
But
yeah, I'm curious to have this conversation with you once you learn more because I was surprised at the shit that came out for him. And like nowadays, even the fandom is pretty torn on like what's gonna happen with him. I used to be a hardcore Kizaru was just blindly following orders too. He'd be on the side of like the government no matter what, but nowadays I started thinking like I don't know, the government was a lot more fucked up than I thought it was, which is saying something after 1,000+ episodes.
You guys seem like you are itching to say some shit. Y'all are so big. I'm just like I'm going to be completely honest. I was trying to listen to everything you guys said and be completely distracted at the same time. I tried not to like take too much of what you guys say because I feel like I'll start piecing shit together really quick. I'm not.
Yeah, because you're clever.
I mean, we call a lot of shit.
They do, yeah. One thing I've always told our guests, since they're anime only, and then we have our podcast conversations about it, every time they come up with their own theories, since I know what happens like a year from now, when they start guessing stuff, right, I'll write it down on my phone, and I'll keep track of like, oh, on this day, you guys actually predicted this. Like, they basically predicted Gear 5 without
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, like they knew that it wasn't going to be the actual gum gum fruit, blah, 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 which is impressive because nobody really got that when we were reading it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hey, dang. Yeah, and it's then, a cool way to keep tabs and make conversation too.
Yeah. It has been a minute since y'all guessed anything right though, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Wait, I thought you said we got the Lucci thing.
That's like probably the last thing you got right.
Oh, okay.
There hasn't been anything as of recently. Y'all need to start theorizing a little bit more. I want to see what y'all think.
I'm kind of scared with this one though. Oh, well, okay. I'm pretty sure there's something. Kuma's really prevalent, so I'm going to assume that I was right, or we were right, saying that he's on his way to Egghead.
Who knows? Maybe he could go anywhere.
Damn, she's really good, man.
Great poker face.
The poker face is
I love it. Who's Kuma?
Just...
Oh my god. Yes. Look at.
Oh, that's sick.
I love those. That is fun. I love that.
I don't even know where I put my Kuma glasses. They're over here somewhere.
They light up too, right?
They do light up, yeah.
Awesome.
They're sick.
I have the typical anime like glasses effect.
Literal, they're called anime glasses.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
And you touch the middle of them, like freaking.
Why is that a thing?
It's a trope, bro. It's a trope.
Oh, I wanted to ask you something like a while ago. I forgot because you like briefly mentioned it. You said you're actually a pretty big My Hero fan, right?
I am.
You read the manga for that too?
I have not, but I've been spoiled so much that I'm about to because I want to get caught up. That's what happened with JJK. I only started reading the manga because I kept getting spoiled. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Yeah. So I'm tempted, but I know what. Something big just happened, so I was like, yeah, I should just get back into it. I really need to just start reading it again.
Yeah, I was curious, because, like, I feel like My Hero hasn't been talked about too much as of late. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, I kind of feel like it's been overshadowed by a lot of anime nowadays.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, and I'm not, unless you want to ask the last question, Emery, my anime hot take had to do with Demon Slayer,
ooh,
but...
Go for it.
I'll watch Demon Slayer, and I've watched Demon Slayer, right? Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not a hot take because I think a lot of people have this opinion. I don't think it deserves all the credit it gets.
It's doo-doo.
Unless it's for its animation.
Agreed. 1,000%.
Story is poo-poo. It is generic. It's fucking boring.
And it's just the development. Like, I like the slow burn of, like, training arcs. Maybe I like... watching people develop. It seems like it just goes from, wow, I know nothing about being a swordsman, to holy crap, I can now literally slice demons. Oh my god, I learned about my background. Oh, okay, now I'm literally fighting for my life and can slice demons. Like, I just don't feel like there was enough training that we saw on screen for me to really enjoy it, like you get with just about every other anime, at least shonen wise, right? So that's my anime hot take. Just I wish we got more in Demon Slayer. I wish it was longer. I wish we got more training.
I think that's a fair take, and I think that also kind of speaks to the fact that you're more of like an old school anime fan, because we grew up with slower burning animes that took a while to kind of get to the point, and they fleshed out their training sections, especially like in, you know, shows like Naruto, Dragon Ball, so all that stuff. But I think that speaks to our experience with it, because now Demon Slayer speaks more to like the newer generation of anime fans that want like faster paced content, flashy stuff, and it works. It's just a completely different generation. But I do agree that the story leaves much to be desired. I watch it for the pretty pictures.
It, for sure. And I'm like, I'll never take that away. I mean, I've got favorite characters in it, and I think some of the character designs are really dope, and it's just like, I wish I got a little bit more.
And I'll always give it the credit that it deserves, that it did change the game for anime, because without Demon Slayer, we may not have had like this whole new wave of anime fans the way we do. Like, I genuinely think it paved the way for
the worst generation.
The worst generation, you know, we call them, because you know, COVID stuff, but like, not worse in the sense that they
like
suck.
It's different. No, like, worst generation One Piece wise is what you're considering.
Newer rookies are coming in, basically.
For clarification for those that are listening. But I equally think My Hero could have done that. And my reasoning behind that is the idea that, especially when COVID hit, right, there was this gap in fandoms, in this bridge that My Hero could have. Anytime I have a Marvel TV friend, that's like, that's like, oh, I think I commented on it. Yeah. So literally that. It's just like, I always recommend, if you want to get into anime, start My Hero. It's the perfect bridge between, you know, superheroes and anime and shonen.
Yeah, it's a good bridge. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Early My Hero was fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think it was just so, I actually loved early My Hero more than I do anything.
The first two seasons were
so good. And
then
like,
when the third season came out,
yeah, I think it peaked around the overhaul stuff. In my opinion. That was my favorite season. And that's where I picked up the manga, though. And that's one thing that I'll say this still, because it's been two seasons since like I kind of felt this way, and I still feel the same. Ever since the villain arc in the anime, that's when it started really like going downhill.
Yeah.
For me, I think the anime for My Hero has been dropping the ball consistently since the Villain Academia arc, because that was one of the arcs that I was so excited to see animated, because the manga was beautiful. It got me more hooked into reading more mangas. That made me want to pick up probably One Piece, also Black Clover, and a few other ones too, because it just looked great. The artwork was fantastic, and I was like, dang, this is so gritty, and it's such like a good development in the story. Like, the stakes are high. And then the anime just did not give me that feeling at all. And I was like, damn it. Like, I might have ruined it for myself. That could have been just a me thing. But I think that, like, one of the common things that is always thrown out there was, like, there's always a blue sky.
Yeah.
It's always bright and sunny and blue sky. And, like, it doesn't always call for that. And it's not that I don't want a blue sky. It's that the colors and the tone of it doesn't fit what's going on. Like, Shigaraki was destroying, leveling an entire city.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it look like, you know, fucking Saturday afternoon, everyone's just chilling, you know, having a good time?
That's true. And I think, again, that kind of speaks to the fandom. And, you know, you hear a lot of bad things about the My Hero fandom and their takes and whatever it might be. And maybe the generation of people watching My Hero that really, really like My Hero and put it at the top of their list, which why I think it gets such a bad rap. And the idea that a lot of them are younger. And so handling those darker tones is hard, you know, like dealing with death in shows like that for a freaking 10-year-old. It's hard when you're coherent and when you're aware, right? Unlike I was saying earlier, people die in Dragon Ball and then they freaking go and they've just got a halo on their head. It's like, hey, Dad, like, they're still here. But, like, you can't express that the same way in My Hero because it's not different, so.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is, I think the anime does make a bigger point to, like, reach the younger demographic, and I think they have to censor it a little bit because of the money that they need to be making and the merchandising.
Absolutely. So for sure.
It goes a lot to do with like the time that the episodes air too. And I remember I had this conversation about Dragon Ball too. Like, everyone had always complained about Dragon Ball Super being so much more lighthearted and less intense than like Dragon Ball Z. That was because back in the day, Dragon Ball Z aired at a time that it was like later, and it was more like
catered to Japan
and like teenagers. Like the older teenagers, I guess, kind of. And then Dragon Ball Super started airing more like early morning, like kind of like a Saturday morning cartoon equivalent, but for Japan.
Yeah.
The time zone was meant, or the time slot that it was airing was meant to be focused more on a younger like audience. So that's a big reason that I think it had that tonal shift. You know, it can justify it, but it doesn't mean I like it. I mean, I like the grittiness of it.
Yeah, I'll have to pick up the MHA manga then and give my opinions before this new season comes out. Yeah. So
I would go back though and like read the villain arc, like, because
beautiful
Shigaraki's awakening is what got me to read it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well. Noted.
Yeah, no, that's cool. And are you a Black Clover fan by any chance? Have you watched or read any of that?
I started Black Clover. I think I got into season two. I think when there were gaps in like weeklies for anime showings, I started picking up different things. So I started Fire Force. I think I've enjoyed watching Fire Force more than I've enjoyed watching Black Clover. My brother and I started Black Clover together. Mm-hmm. He got a little more ahead than me, and then I think JJK started back up, something started back up, so I dropped it again. But and then I started watching some more romance and haven't picked it back up. I didn't dislike it. I love Yami, back on the simp talk. I love Yami, so you know. I'll get back into it eventually. I like the idea of it, and obviously a lot of the newer anime take things in ideas and stuff like that from older anime, which is bound to happen, just like any piece of media ever.
Yeah.
It can be inspired by, right? But
I recommend that one if you like the slower paced ones, because I think Black Clover is one of those newer gen anime that
was a slow burn.
Was more of a slow burn, kind of more nostalgic the way we grew up with anime, and I think that's why I at least grew up.
It was one of those. It was one of those last few ones, like in that like 2010-ish era of like being like a weekly release and like and had like in the beginning was a more little episodic kind of feel to it, and then they started to build like, oh, there's a real story behind it. Like I'm, I'm telling you, it's one of my favorite fucking stories ever.
It's good. Okay, that brother keeps saying the same thing. He keeps going, it might be like top three for me. Yeah, so I'm like, well, it is, like that much.
It is in my top three.
Yeah.
That and Magi constantly swap for me, because there are a few series that I have collected for manga, but the ones that I have like hunted for and hungered for is Black Clover. That I have every fucking physical copy out for that, just because it's the manga is visually so god, like it's
super good.
The anime is great, it is phenomenal, but the manga reading it, the artist is really good about doing like full page spread, so those two pages are just one beautiful piece, and like that's something me and him have always fanned over.
The artwork draws a lot, and it's so cool getting to see the detail that he does. Like I really appreciate all the different like artwork from these different mangas, because if it fits the tone, even better. And I will always say I think the manga for Black Clover and My Hero is better than their respective animes. Not to say that the anime is bad, but it's a different beast altogether.
How do you feel about the JJK manga? Because I've had my qualms with its art style in the manga versus the anime, and obviously with MAPPA, you're gonna get phenomenal whatever, right? But even the recent chapters, I'm just like, it's so not like hectic. Scribbled, because that's obviously, but it's just exactly. So I'm just like, oh, this is a lot going on. Sometimes it's hard to follow, and sometimes I'm like, oh god.
I agree with that. I think the JJK manga is good, but I think the anime is better because it draws out fights a little longer, and it's easier to follow. Like it's easier to follow the action when it's animated than when you're like seeing it cut up into panels. Like the continuous motion helps me out a lot. The only reason I read JJK is because I'm tired of getting spoiled all the time. I was getting spoiled for that more than any other anime I've ever watched. Like when I found out about the big spoiler in JJK that I'm not gonna say on camera.
Gojo died.
Yeah, when I found out about that, I was like, yep, that's it. That's the last straw. I'm picking it up. And I couldn't deal with it anymore.
That was where I picked up.
Mm-hmm. And I also it's a complicated show. It's a really complicated. It takes a lot of brain cells to understand the fuck is going on and just the power system.
Like, and even just the bounds of it. I think after I picked it up and post Shibuya, I would say even, and learning about these other characters and their abilities, I was like, this goes beyond what I thought sorcerers were capable of in like a jujutsu sense. And so I was like, holy crap, it's just so much and so little. And mind you, like past what I was saying earlier about a slow burn and stuff, obviously I think we're past that in JJK, where now it's just like in the shiznit, right, in that final run. And so I don't really add that same connotation when I'm talking about JJK because of that, but man, it's just hit after hit after hit with direct action. And
sometimes I like it. But I'm like,
oh my god, I'm like, god, can we get a lighthearted episode, please?
For real.
Like, I just need them to go freaking harp on Megumi again.
Man, I miss just the dumb interactions that like the trio had in season one. It was just so much fun, and it gave me those nostalgic like Naruto vibes. But ever since Shibuya, you realize, oh, we're never getting that ever again.
Yeah.
Like,
this is dark.
Yeah, it's just dark for the rest of the series. Like, there's no going back. Mm-hmm. There was just too much, like, world-impacting events that, like, you can't justify a lighthearted, you know, episode where they go shopping or something.
Yep, which is how I feel or heard Chainsaw Man is, too, which I haven't picked up, but I want to start reading because I heard that it, again, gets into that dark trio type.
I've only watched what's been animated so far. I haven't picked that
one.
I hope we get more for it. Like, because I liked it, but I don't think I liked it enough to pick up the manga, though.
Okay.
It's weird. Because I did really like it.
I really liked it.
Sometimes I just have to have, like, that feeling. Like there's something where I watch it and I'm like, oh, I need to know more.
Which is actually, I'm not going to lie, it's kind of surprising coming from you, because I knew how much you appreciated the, like, cinematography of it.
Yeah, but you'll get that more in an anime than you will in a manga.
That's true.
Yeah, like it probably wouldn't translate the same. They took a lot more like creative liberties in the anime than they probably did in the manga, so that's why like it's not gonna be the same.
Yeah.
So you'd understand why some people would prefer to watch One Piece instead of reading it.
I always understand why.
No,
I just give you shit
for it.
No, because
you get a lot in One Piece.
Yeah,
I'll tell you.
And that's
Oda
another one.
Oda is phenomenal.
Yeah, like that's another one where I'm the biggest One Piece fan, and I do read the manga weekly, no doubt about it. But that manga can be really hard to follow sometimes, especially when he packs so much into just a couple pages. Oda is notorious for it, bro.
People will be like, oh yeah, I'm searching for Panda Man. Meanwhile, they find like an Easter egg from something that's going to happen in the next 10 chapters. Yeah. And they're like, I've now theorized that this is actually the Bible.
Yeah, like sometimes I read that one on like a computer or on my phone, and I literally have to zoom in and go panel per panel, because this man stacks so much detail and information that like it's also hard to follow sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I like the manga, but it's not my favorite manga, like just objectively, because it's hard to follow. Like I like Dragon Ball, for example, as a manga more than I do One Piece. Because of the way it looks, it has such a good flow to it. The fights are easy to follow. You know who's there in the room. You know who's fighting what. It's never overcomplicated. And it finds a good way to tell a story in between all of that. There are so many times that in One Piece, Oda kind of just does all of the action. And then in random side bubbles, he'll throw in a little bit of narration from characters that aren't there but are just narrating in the background. And you're like, wait, are they there? Are they not there?
Yeah.
Like what the fuck is actually going on?
Okay.
That's where I think the anime does better, because maybe the pacing is slower, but at least you're understanding who's where, who's talking. Like, again, it helps the
clarity.
Flow. It adds a lot of clarity. Exactly.
I had a thought just now because of what she just said.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that Kuma? What book is it that Kuma is walking around with?
Bible.
Bible. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that mean that like One Piece World has Christianity?
Jesus.
And Jesus?
So, Bible is a generic term for just like a religious text. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's just... There is reasoning behind it, right? Why he carries that around?
There's what?
Is there reasoning behind why he carries that around? I don't remember if we know that or not.
I mean, they... You'll learn a lot more about Kuma, and it'll make sense why he carries a Bible.
Just the environment that he was in, I guess.
Yeah, and like his job, I guess, while he was on the island.
I'm
right?
What kind of, I guess, religious text is in it?
You know, I think, too, I don't know if Oda's really touched on Christianity specifically. I think it's more like a... Because even the images on the Bible itself, like, it looks like an angel, right? That has a lot of connotation and all that stuff. But it's not ever touched on, at least up till now, what specific it is, other than, like, Bible, church.
Yeah, so, I think it's supposed to be meant as a more generalized idea that, like, hey, it could exist.
Religion is prevalent,
But it's just religion. You could probably substitute it for whatever, maybe. He just decided to go with that because it might be more prominent.
Just an open kind of text for, like, whoever wants to feel that religion. Okay.
That's how I'm choosing to view it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somebody watching could be like, oh, yeah, Kuma's Jewish.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think
he doesn't wear
a
yarmulke. I'll tell you that much.
Shit. Yeah, I don't think it's
meant
to be.
We have ears. Come on.
Oh, man. I'm sorry. I couldn't help that last joke.
Of course you had to.
What was it that you were calling hot takes earlier? Instead of a hot take.
When I was talking about the hear me outs?
Yeah, the hear me outs. What's your quick hear me out?
I was going to say, like,
okay, this is gonna sound really bad, but I saw some exquisite fan art. Okay, not like weird fan art. It was just exquisitely drawn.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, no, I know.
Of Brook, but as a skeleton.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Not where I was expecting you to go.
Okay.
At all. So that's probably my biggest hear me out, because that's kind of like a... Really? Yeah. Like, come on.
How would that even work? Like,
I don't even know. I have a lot of hear me outs. I practically think everybody in One Piece is
a hear me out. Anyone that's not normal sized, probably. Like, imagine just like one of the giants.
Yeah.
Hear me
like,
out.
Young Kaido. Like, young Kaido. Obviously, everyone loves Rayleigh. Rayleigh's our freaking
daddy.
Kind of Yeah.
I have Shocky it, for me. As like a very light here, man. Oh. Like that's not even much of an argument. It's just like Shocky.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you know this one actually. This one's been pretty prevalent on this podcast for a while. Big Mom.
Big Mom.
Absolutely.
Hear me out. Yeah, like we've always said, you know, after having like 80 something kids, you know.
And here's the thing too, getting Big Mom, there's that theory about well, I'd like to think, I think they look a lot alike. Yamato being Big Mom's child.
It would make sense, and like the fucking either strength.
In their size. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh man, but
that's Yamato's my mom.
Then you gotta think like
that's
Emery's Hear Me Out is Yamato's fucking Zoan transformation.
listen.
Luigi's Zoan transformation.
Listen, I'm not a furry. Where's B-Star shirt? but
specifically the hybrid form, I guess, not the full.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah. Like she just had to like go and like have to have like a wolf form of all things. And like for people who don't know, like I like wolves, man. Like I have a wolf tattoo on me and everything. And so, like, yeah, she was literally white hair Nami with horns.
It's, yeah.
And she's a badass.
Hey, you're not going to get me on Ailey Hear Me Out, because I probably agree.
Huh. I mean, do you got any?
I was trying to think of, like, anybody super crazy. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anyone.
Not even One Piece, though. What about,
like,
any?
In general.
Have you seen Mushoku Tensei?
Have I seen what?
Jobless Reincarnation?
I've not.
Oh.
A really good isekai.
Really good isekai. Okay. He doesn't know shit about good isekai, but it's a good isekai.
Have you seen Tanya the Evil?
No.
I like that as an isekai, but it's interesting. Look up the premise of it.
Okay.
Name one more time. Tanya what?
Tanya the Evil?
Tanya the Evil. Check that out.
Yeah, it's got like a longer name, but that's like the main premise. Like if you just type in that, the rest of it should pop up.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think.
Have you ever seen Akame ga Kill?
I started it, didn't I know. But that's because like I'll get into these modes where I'm like, I want to start a new anime. And I'll start watching it, and then I'm like, oh, it's 3 a.m. and I've watched 5 episodes because I wanted to watch this at midnight, right? Whatever. And then I just never pick it back up. Even with just like romance anime, I get the same.
That sounds like your brother.
Yeah, basically. He's not watching anime anytime soon.
Probably. Okay.
Outside of like what's weekly coming out, I think he's only keeping up with One Piece and Kaiju number 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Kaiju number 8, have you heard of that? Watched any of that?
I've heard a lot about it. Again, have not watched it though, but I added it to my watch list, so
that,
I'm excited.
If you're willing to take any recommendations from us, take that from me. Kaiju number 8.
Kaiju number 8.
Is
heck
a
yeah.
Good one.
I
binged like 100 chapters when I picked it up, like in a week. Mm-hmm. Basically, I was on vacation and I was like, fuck it, I'm reading this. And I caught up really fast. That's super good. And if you like Attack on Titan even a little bit, you'll like this one.
And that's what I kept hearing. So I was like, well, I do love Attack on Titan. So
gore.
Let's
There's
see what
a
this
big
is
gore
about.
Warning.
Very gory, but like with monsters instead of people. So.
Yeah, well, if you can deal with Attack on Titan gore,
yeah, you'll
deal with monster gore.
Do you have any recommendations?
Okay, actually, fucking yes. I wish he was here to fucking be here to help me with this one, actually. So much. It hurts me. You know what's coming, don't you? I don't know if any of you guys have actually taken the time to go on Netflix and watch Ash complete his fucking journey. That shit is fucking phenomenal.
Pokemon?
Is
yes,
it good?
It's so fucking good. Like
I don't want to cry, man.
Oh.
Honestly,
you won't. I won't. Like it is kind of the like ending of an era, but like the people you get to see him fight and battle is crazy. Like
I've
the Masters
the
8 that like the last 8 people he faces, oh my god. Yeah.
I bet.
And they're taking like they're taking things from like 3 different series and putting them into like this last one. Like in this tournament, he's able to use Dynamax, he's able to use Z moves, and he can fucking mega evolve his Pokemon.
Like, golly. All right, well, add it to the list.
And like if you're a Pokemon fan, okay, the team he runs with, chef's kiss. He like obviously like he has a Lucario that he hatched from an egg.
Yeah.
and he raised from a Riolu to a Lucario. He's got the Gengar he found. Mm-hmm.
He always has Pikachu, obviously.
He always has Pikachu. He's got a Dragonite. And this Dragonite, like he like became friends with his Dragonite that he was like one of those ones that would like deliver letters.
Oh, yeah, really? One of the main ones.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
Who am I forgetting? Oh God. Oh yeah, Sirfetch. Yeah, Sirfetch. The evolved form of Farfetch. And then what was the dragon one that he found? He discovered a whole new Pokemon, and it was a dragon type. It's a weird.
Is it Rayquaza?
It's a weird dragon type. Well, because like he, by the time you are like watching this and like this this battle, he's the Alolan champion. Wow. Like that region, when he goes back to that region, they're all just like Ash Pikachu, because like they revere him as like their champion.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, all right. Okay. I need to get back into it anyways. I've been meaning to buy the games. I've been meaning to buy Violet, but how did I get back into Pokemon? Okay.
I don't know if you're a DS player, if you own a DS, start buying Pokemon hard copies like it's religion. Because
they're worth a lot of money.
They are worth a shit ton of money right now, and they are going to just be very... Like, DS is slowly like just shutting down all their kind of processes and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So getting those like very rare like
hard copies,
copies and like those few that were just like they're just chef kiss games. Like you're not gonna what's the hard one? Soul Silver and Heart Gold.
Mm-hmm.
Like those are.
Isn't Emerald also like worth a shit ton?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the SP, yes. Platinum, another hard ass one. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, okay. The OG Diamond and Pearl. Oh, that's a that's a.
The whole market that has just mm-hmm. exploded, like retro video games. Fucking, we bought a Dragon Ball Z video game for like $140 like a week ago.
He did.
It's worth PS1? Over 300 for PS2.
Oh, I knew it was close.
And no, it's worth like over $300, but I was able to get it for like $140.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part was that I sold that game at a garage sale like maybe 6-7 years ago for like maybe $5.
Yeah,
do you, okay.
People
okay.
don't know what they have.
Nope, never.
Okay, were you? I'm curious now. Was there ever like that moment when you were like a kid and like growing up, and so like you sold some of those things that looking back you're just like, fuck, why did I do that?
You know, me personally, no. And the only reason why is because I left for the Navy when I was 18, so a lot of the stuff that I had when I was a kid was left to my parents and family devices, okay. And whether or not they got rid of it, I still to this day don't even know.
Oh, that's
the worst.
Like even my DS, right? I had a DS. One of my favorite games, we were just talking about DSs, was Elite Beat Agents.
Okay.
That was one of my favorite games to play on the DS. And I don't even know where my DS is. I don't know where any of my games are. I don't know where my little Guitar Hero freaking peg thing is.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I miss Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
So do I.
Can that be the next ones that we go and collect?
Maybe.
Those are fun. I love
that's a good one. Actually, I didn't think about that. Oh, that's
Guitar Hero.
I don't know. I think I would be happier knowing, like, I guess my parents just did something with my shit. Just like, I can't be mad at you.
You didn't
know.
Yeah.
Wondering.
Yeah. Instead of like me growing up and I'm just like, you dumbass.
You know what? I take that back because there are these things called Littlest Pet Shop. And I collected those as a child, like hundreds of them. And I have a small tin can of what was left of them sitting in my office now. And those things are expensive. People are reselling the original ones for like, some of them can get up into the hundreds. And they're just like little 1-inch bobblehead.
They're Littlest Pet like, Shop? That sounds really familiar.
You know what? Let me see. I'll grab one for you. Yeah, so I got them in a Squishmallow tin can. But
I feel like I remember seeing like commercials for that when I was a kid or something.
Yeah, it sounds. Oh yeah.
Oh, the little like animal things. I remember those. Yeah, I didn't think that those were like worth a lot of money now. Wow.
Okay.
Crazy people will buy to collect them.
I'm really glad. I'm sorry, we would stop, but like there was a question I wanted to get into because we asked. I don't know if you know Swim Angie Swim.
Yeah, Angie.
Yeah.
She's the best.
When we had her on,
we have the same headphones.
Nice.
I don't remember. I think I commented on something about that, or you commented that. That's right.
And you said you needed to get a
fix. one of the questions we asked her was like, out of your collection, do you have a piece that's kind of like, yeah, that's my
your pride and joy.
Pride and joy.
You know, I would say yes, and I'll grab it for you. Yes. It was actually a birthday gift for my brother. And wait, have both of you guys watched Naruto? First of all,
Yeah.
Okay. So let me pull it up. I got a scoop because I'm in.
Yeah, no, go for it. You're good.
I'm so excited. Okay, now we can like take a look at like what else.
Yeah.
I like the Hunter.
I like the stuff on the right side. Is that I see Madara over there? Is that Hisoka? Oh, yeah. I see Hisoka.
I saw Hisoka.
You over here?
Yeah.
Oh, I got Virgo.
I like the top shelf Avatar stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool. I haven't seen a Virgo one.
Oh my god.
Yo, is that Mike Guy?
Yes. So that's what I was gonna say. Mike Guy. So sorry, I was away from my mic, but Mike Guy is my second favorite One Piece Naruto character, and I want to get Eight Gates Guy tattooed on me so bad, but my brother got me this statue. It's not a resin statue, but it is a scaled one, so it's him doing Eight Gates.
That's cool as fuck. That's a good size too. Uh-huh. That's like massive.
It's probably my biggest like action posed figure. Like, I've got a decent sized Puma and a few decent sized Zoros, and I started a Kuma fund. I don't know if you can see this, okay. This is actually a coin bank that I was putting money into like when I first started cosplaying Puma, so almost 2 years ago. And I was going to fundraise for a Kuma like resin statue because I got a whole bunch of dope ones. But you know, we are anime collectors, and a few of these other shops, they sell out really fast and they only have limited numbers, and I'm like, man, do I want to put the money in for it now? I don't even have the space for it, so I keep holding off, but I'm like determined now to do it. To get one.
Treat yourself.
Treat yourself every day. I treat myself. Look at this place. Look at it.
Yeah.
Good, that's what we like to hear. Let the collection grow.
Retail therapy, ain't that right, Bunny Lord?
My favorite type. Who needs a therapist?
I'm pretty sure that we're gonna be getting more Kuma like merch probably in the next like year or so. And there's a specific thing that I really want, like as a statue, something that he does, and I think it'd be really fucking dope.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Kuma stocks are gonna go up, right?
Kuma stocks. Invest now. Invest in the Kuma stocks.
You would be surprised the amount of comments I get now when people see my Kuma cosplay. Oh. Like people are either like, "Dang, you invested early. Your stocks are up, right? For the cosplaying for so long." Or there's people like, "You're only cosplaying Kuma now because he's relevant again." And I'm like, "You need to do your research a little bit, buddy. Because I've been cosplaying Kuma for quite a bit."
People think they know. You got in at a great time. Like you invested early. You invested when Bitcoin was like a dollar.
Oh, a cent.
Yeah. Ain't nobody. If all you've seen is Thriller Bark, ain't nobody would have known the shit. That
absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
Kuma is the Bitcoin of the One Piece fucking world.
God. Okay, I can get behind that. Kuma stocks are up.
Yeah.
Kuma stocks are up. I would sell your Zoro stocks, by the way.
I'll stab you right now.
Do it.
Give me that.
No. Cut the podcast.
Cut the podcast. I'm gonna put it in there a little.
I'm just not gonna be here. And it's like, oh, Martin had to go. No, but I think that's a good place to kind of wrap it up. Is there anything else that you would like to let the world know, Taylor? Anything that you're working on, or even just a recommendation that you want to throw out there?
Gosh, you know, anything I'm working on, I'm always working on new cosplays. As I started cosplaying Human Brook, I am working on a Brook cosplay. Like a regular Brook, I should say, right? Unfleshed Brook. Yeah, Soul King Brook. I think that'd be kind of cool. I want to work a little bit more on some of my cosplays. So be prepared for that. I'm trying to venture out. I'm trying to do a couple more Bleach cosplays as well. I think Kenpachi would be kind of dope.
Ooh, that would be
Oh, yeah. But no, anything I want to put out there, how about if you haven't seen Space Dandy, watch Space Dandy.
There you go. I haven't seen Space Dandy.
Yeah, I know you haven't.
That's like a day three of me knowing him that he's like, "You need to watch Space Dandy."
Nobody knows what it is. It was one of those that I found on deployment, and I was like, I need to tell people about this.
The space dance to save the universe is my favorite fucking scene ever.
Yes.
I've shown it to him probably a million fucking times.
But out of context, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, what is this?
I have never had somebody come on and recommend something that I was so much happy that it brought me to fucking tears, Martine.
Yeah, no.
Well, there you God. Go. Who would have thought?
Yeah,
thought?
He's a big space dandy.
It's one of my favorite, like, feel-good fucking animes, man.
Mine too!
All right, well, that has actually never really been on my list, but I'll put it on my list for y'all.
I know you'll love it. I know you'll love it, bro.
Probably. I normally end up loving everything you recommend.
Yes!
Again,
if
don't
you're
like
not like
right.
solely, if you're just like my brother really navigates towards shonen, right? And some isekais, like, I don't even know what the name of this one is called that he really loves, but yeah, if you're open-minded about the type of in the genre of anime mm-hmm. that you watch, then yeah, you'll really like it.
I feel like I can watch a lot of stuff. Like isekai is probably one of my lesser favorite ones. That one's kind of a hit or miss, and fantasy in general, like I think I just have to be in the mood for it. I do gravitate mm-hmm. more towards like shonen, but I also really like
he likes comedy.
I like my comedies, and I like my like some like romance slice of life ones.
He does like slice of
too.
Life.
I was a huge Horimiya fan. Like that one was really fun.
Yeah.
Don't fucking
no, I
start
said
with
peak.
Me. Okay, I thought you said
peak.
Fake. I was like,
no,
I'll
no,
beat
no,
your
bro.
Ass.
I loved Horimiya.
I was about to say, I'll beat your ass. I got you on that one.
No, I'll fight somebody who talks some shit about Horimiya.
Horimiya is great. Like, mm-hmm. still one of the best ones. Okay, I'll check that one out. Yeah, I'll look at it eventually.
Thank you, Taylor, so much for your amazing recommendation, and thank
you're
you for
welcome.
Coming on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We got to do this again.
Absolutely. We'll have to have you back on, you know, when Gary's feeling better. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And
we'll make sure to add all your socials. Let us know where the people can find you, and we'll put it in our descriptions, okay?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to check out our episodes Wednesdays on Spotify and Apple, and Thursdays on YouTube. With that, anything else?
Alchemist out.
Alchemist out.
Bye.